This is Studio 360, and I am Kurt Anderson. No woman ever has composed more Broadway scores than Jeanine Tesori. And she didn't even write her first musical until she was in her 30s. After switching college majors from pre-med to music in the early 80s, she spent a decade arranging and conducting musical theater until she pulled herself out of the pit and holed up in a lighthouse to create a musical of her own. She has just written her fifth Broadway score, the new musical Fun Home. It tells the real-life story of the cartoonist Alison Bechdel, who grew up in the family-run funeral home, and as soon as she leaves home, discovers all sorts of secrets. The composer and co-creator of Fun Home, Jeanine Tesori, joins me now to talk and play. Jeanine, welcome to Studio 360.
I'm very happy to be here.
Good. And congratulations on Fun Home. It is not only a pleasure and great work by all concerned, but I am predicting it's going to be your longest running show ever.
I would enjoy that a lot. Well, I would really enjoy it.
You owe me a dime if it happens.
I will, with interest.
Okay. Speaking of long durations, turning a graphic memoir into a musical was, I understand, a long, tough piece of work.
Musicals are always, the gestation of a musical is always long.
I know.
But this one was particularly long because the source material itself is dense and not a narrative that's linear. So we had to understand it in a way of how it would transform, not just transfer, into a musical form.
And it actually took you 3 years to write the opening number?
It took us, the interesting thing is it took us years, almost the entire time of 5 years, to understand that there wasn't an opening number. Of how to come into the book is almost, was it should feel as effortless as opening a book.
Rather than the big traditional Broadway opening number.
Exactly, that thing that you come out and, you know, and a tap number. I still want to put a tap number in there, but it's just, it would feel shoehorned, I think. But I was surprised by the ease with which the musical had to open. That first 3 minutes, the pact with the audience had to be made a new way that I hadn't done before.
Will you play something since you're sitting at the piano from
Fun
Home? What will this be?
This is going to be Changing My Major. I just a caveat that I'm a writer who sings ish, so I will do my best. What happened last night? Are you really here? Joan, 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 Joan. Hi, Joan, don't wake up, Joan. Oh, my God, last night. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, last night. I got so excited, I was too enthusiastic. Thank you for not laughing. Well, you laughed a little bit at one point when I was touching you and said I might lose consciousness, which you said was adorable, and I just have to trust that you don't think I'm an idiot or some kind of an animal. I never lost control due to overwhelming lust, but I must say that I'm changing my major to Joan. I'm changing my major to sex with Joan. I'm changing my major to sex with Joan, with a minor in kissing Joan. Foreign study to Joan's inner thighs, a seminar on Joan's ass in her Levi's, and Joan's crazy brown eyes. Joan, I feel like Hercules. Oh, God, that sounds ridiculous. Just keep on sleeping through this and I'll work on coming down. So by the time you've woken up, I'll be cool, I'll be collected, and I'll have found some dignity. But who needs dignity? 'Cause this is so much better. I'm radiating happiness. Will you stay here with me for the rest of the semester? We won't eat any food. We'll live on sex alone. Sex with Joan. I am writing a thesis on Joan. It's a cutting-edge field and my mind is blown. I will gladly stay up every night to hone my compulsory skills with Joan. I will study my way down her spine, familiarize myself with her well-made outline while she researches mine. I don't know who I am. I've become someone new. Nothing I just did is anything I would do. Overnight everything changed. I am not prepared. I'm dizzy, I'm nauseous, I'm shaky. I'm scared. Am I falling into nothingness or flying into something so sublime? I don't know. Sweet, all sweaty and tangled up in my bedsheet, and my heart feels complete. Let's never leave this room. How about we stay here till finals? I'll go to school forever. I'll take out a dementedly huge high interest loan, 'cause I'm changing my major to Joan.
That is Janine Tesori playing and more than singing-ish. I'm changing my major to Joan from her new musical, Fun Home. That song is sung by the character Allison when she's in college. She's just found out she's a lesbian and she's just had sex with a woman for the first time. Was the idea of that song always, we have to make this funny so that this majority straight audience will find it completely charming?
I think the idea of this song was a subset of how I felt and how Lisa felt.
Lisa Krohn being the book writer and lyricist.
And heightened by the sense that what Lisa told me, as a gay woman, that she wasn't afforded an adolescence, that she didn't have that time walking down the hall with a girlfriend or pen and inking notes or hearts into her notebooks. And so what happened was an unbelievably goofy and really hysterical combination of a first time of love and romance and sex that has been building and building to this moment, which was, ripe for comedy.
It sounds, having read about your involvement with this show and other shows, that you are much more than the composer. For instance, I read that in the scene right before the song comes in, that it was you who insisted that the girls needed to kiss.
Yes. Yes, that's true. I think that what Lisa, we all, my mentor early on when I started as a conductor said, you must conduct everything as if you wrote it. Huh. And so now I feel like I'm writing everything as if I've conducted it and designed it and have to act in it. Because I think the more that you go from the empathy of what the people, not just viewing it, but the people who are inside it, underneath it, behind it, for every moment of this ephemeral moment on stage, there are 100 people behind it. And I think it just really behooves you to do that. So I wanted to school myself as much in dramaturgy as I'm not a composer who can just get a lyric and set it. I can, yeah. But it's not as interesting to me as to be part of that cohesive team.
Back to this particular question, though, why was that even an issue, whether they should kiss?
Lisa's incredibly brave. She has been doing things in theater in downtown for years, and she said, you'll see. They can't kiss, you'll see. And I didn't understand what that meant, and what she meant was that they would be laughed at, not the audience wouldn't be laughing with them, that they would be laughing at them. And she didn't realize, and I think it's to her great joy, that that's just not the case at all.
Musically, in this show, you obviously embrace the pop music that this Allison character, the real Allison, would have grown up listening to in the 1970s, and presumably you did. Can you maybe play some notions of what I'm talking about from the show? Like, for instance, when she and her siblings hilariously dance around to advertise their mock advertisement for the funeral home?
Well, that seems to come out of we decided to make a commercial, that they were going to make a commercial, because they didn't realize that a funeral home is not and it's like anything else that a family does. It's the family business. So we did a –
his final rest. You got to give him the best. Whoa, come to the fun home. That's the Bechdel funeral home, baby.
It's like that.
And we're hearing a little bit, Jackson 5.
Yes, it's exactly, because that's what they've been listening to. They wouldn't be making up their
right.
own tune.
And it is the moment in the show, I think, maybe where you completely get the audience to love you and everybody on stage.
Well, the thing about those kids and the joy and the innocence of them, and I talked to a lot of families who had, they had grown up in the funeral home business, and everyone to a T said, they got so used to dead bodies. They got so used to caskets. To the point where for a lot of them, it was really troubling when they would go to funerals later in life.
And they had to take it really solemnly?
Yeah, and take it solemnly. And there weren't signifiers that caskets mean solemnity or sadness. It had been something that sometimes one family said whirled right through their kitchen table. While they were eating dinner, they would move their plates and the body would go through. And then they would resume eating, and I thought, oh, God.
You have also talked, I've read, about the importance of risking and expecting and admitting failure. And when you talk about that, do you mean creative artistic failure or box office and reviews, that kind of failure?
Well, I've had both. It's so much easier when it goes
time?
Your way. Yeah, absolutely. Huh. And sometimes, I think that it's not – just developing, people always say, oh, you have to have such a tough skin. It's like, no, you have to have a tough skin, but the pores have to remain open. The very thing, as you know, as a writer, the thing that makes you vulnerable and interested and curious, and I would use the word humble, is the beginners, what the Buddhists would call the beginner's mind to me, is what I never want to lose. I never expect anything to go well. As a Sicilian, I never expect that. I'm just so amazed when things go well, and so I think they're so tricky and they're so dependent on so many things aligning. And when that happens, it's just fantastic. However, I think I feel that for girls that I've observed, and later with women, that failure is linked to shame. I've just failed, and I've been declared talent free in some paper, and
that a quote from a review?
Someone did declare me devoid of talent, but you know.
Well, you've proven them wrong many times. You, among other things, have a great range. I want to take a listen to a few things quickly. Here's Thoroughly Modern Millie, which is so 1920s sounding.
What we think is she beauty and quite adorable. Taking is hard and solemn and memorable. But the fact is, we think today is the
right. And Carol Interchange, which is variously bluesy and Motowny. And as we heard you do earlier, Fun Home is, among other things, so 70s. And I could go on. You did Shrek the Musical, which was very different again. Do you think of yourself as having a style?
I go show to show. And so I think my style is linked to the dramatic event, is what I would say. I was taught by a wonderful pianist, and part of the reason why people have called my career eclectic is that he presented me with music from all over. And I played TV themes and Stravinsky, Kavaleski, Beethoven, and Born Free from the Mr. Big Note collection. And he never presented it in any way. And we did improvs and lead sheets. And it was never accompanied with judgment. He just said, be curious about everything and anything that your ear goes to, listen to it. And later my mentor would say the same thing. And so I think I attach myself to worlds that I want to musicalize. And for me, hopefully not in a party trick kind of way, there's always an aspect about the period that interests me.
Whether it's the 1920s or 70s or whatever. And the trick, of course, is to be eclectic and to not be a hack.
Yeah. Right. It's a fine line between eclectic and hack.
Yes. Yes. I was shocked to read how many songs you write for a given show that don't ever get used.
Yeah, I wish I could get there quickly, but it's just not. I guess that's my other style, is it's a very it's sort of like the Twilight Zone anxiety spiral. But I find it really difficult to get the entire score on the first sweep. There are temples that hold a score up. I could link to it. Ring of Keys is the first complete song that we wrote, and I knew that
in
was
Fun
right.
Home, yeah.
In Fun Home. And then Changing My Major. There are certain things you think, okay, it's solid. I understand it.
Uh-huh.
I understand. To me, theater songs are often like dogs with backpacks. They have a little job to do. They carry something from one place to another.
That's a cute metaphor.
And I've got so many dog metaphors. Got a million. And that's when I know, okay, that's right. This thing is just, it's got too much cabaret. It's too subtle. There's something we just haven't gotten it. It doesn't have that sturdy, it will play to a house of 700 people. It doesn't have it.
Are there any songs from Fun Home that you wrote that you remember that didn't make the cut?
Oh, my God. We wrote, Lisa Crohn would kill me. I don't know if I remember it. We wrote a song called Antigone in Vermont when we were desperately trying to make that work when she would just come in, and it was 4:30 in the morning. I remember she would sing like 4:30 in the morning, and there was a whole
this
thing
is
about
the adult
this.
Allison.
Adult Allison. There was a point where she went a life in boxes. It went like, you know, it was just not it. But we were getting closer. I think it's sort of like a fox hunt technique that I use, and that's why it takes so long.
Another dog metaphor.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know. I've just ordered a new puppy, and that's probably why I'm there.
When you are sitting at the piano, as you are now, to start something, how does that actually work at the very beginning of a piece or of a song in a thing you're doing?
What I try to do now is not work at the piano. If I'm at the piano, it's to, you know, remind myself how Hawaii Five-O used to go. And
da-da-da-da-da.
I mean, I really wowed them in second grade when I played that. I try to write away from the piano as much as possible. I also write at a dry erase board, and I draw what a song is supposed to look like, or how it fits into a show, how the sequence of events goes. I'm trying not to use the piano as anything except what the orchestra is going to do, because it's a much wider range than the orchestra, and not write for the piano.
So you've already written the song by the time you get to the piano.
I've tried. There are intricacies of the accompaniment that I haven't worked out, but I've thought about. I write a lot when I'm walking or when I'm thinking about something else. I remember Einstein's quote about brushing your teeth and coming up with ideas. I think that's when the mind gets really released to be creative.
Janine, it has been a pleasure talking to you today.
Likewise.
Fun Home is on Broadway right now, and at studio360.org, you can hear all of the songs that Janine Tesori played for us today and see a video of her playing one of them and hear the entire conversation that we had, which is much longer than we were able to play for you right now on the show.